A carousel in Sichuan province has sparked rounds of outcry online after people realized the operators are using real horses to provide the ride. Are horses no longer the beast of burden in our times, or is it outright animal cruelty? So let's talk about this. Have you guys checked out the short video yet?
I couldn't get myself to watch it because then I just felt really sad reading through the stories. And the only question that went through my mind was like, just how brain dead is humanity at this point? Like, I mean, come on, you know. There are horses, but what happened to using the fake plastic horses? I mean, they were working fine, weren't they?
I did look at the video, and I didn't feel so strongly. I didn't feel as strongly as Nila here, because I check out the video and I realize, yes, there are horses walking in a circle, but I can see they are not exactly constrained. Too bad. I mean, they are not tightly constrained. They are connected to a rotating pole via a bit mouthpiece. Mm-hmm. Much like what you see in those TV series where a guy or somebody will lead a horse while they are walking. So the walking pace was rather slow. Mm-hmm. And so I realized that probably wasn't too much of a burden on the horses. And then there are reports telling us more details about it. Actually, the horses were owned by a Wuhan-based Shenma Equestrian Club, which operates the ride and owns the ponies. And they said the horses walk on the carousel for 4 hours every day. That's not much.
That is a lot.
4 hours each ride lasts about 4 minutes. And three trainers were also on site. And these horses get a break every 2 hours. And it's not like, from the video at least, it's not like they are being overworked. And I don't see a lot of people riding on their horses.
See, Nila, this is the... You need to check out the video, because initially I was just like you, and I was furious about this. I was ready to give these people a very hard time. And...
Because when you think about a merry-go-round, you think of them of like... machine wooden horses flying fast.
Yeah, and you're thinking that these poor horses are being restrained on this rotating structure, right? And just the thought of that makes you mad, because you're thinking these horses are supposed
poor things.
Yeah, and they're being that was initially what I thought, but I know here comes video content.
For me, there's a difference between if the horse is in an equestrian place and where it's natural habitat,
but aquarium. Sort of.
But if it's like there for our entertainment and just people to sit on them, and then they just keep walking round and round in the same circle for a couple of hours, I mean, you wouldn't be able to do that, even you. Just walking in the same small space, round and round. One person gets on top of you, gets off. It's not fair to me. It's not fair. It doesn't matter if they are not constrained or nothing or like that. It's just not their natural environment.
But horses have been not living in their natural environment for centuries. I mean, they used to be the beast.
No,
of burden.
I mean they are supposed to be in their own stables, not on a carousel.
That is the part that I guess I find it very difficult to pick a position. Because in theory, I totally agree with you, Nila. But when you look at even in the equestrian place, these horses are being ridden and they've been asked to do much more strenuous behavior.
But animals are not there for our entertainment. I mean, would you imagine if, something happened. The aliens came and they were treating us the same way we treat animals. How do you think you'll feel okay and just say, we're humans, you're supposed to be like that, to put up with it?
I mean, I don't know how I would feel. I certainly will feel very bad if I were being treated like the horses. But there's no denying there used to be a time when beasts were tamed to serve the human beings.
But that's the time when people were not very educated. those days, people are not very much educated. Those days, people didn't know and understand that actually animals have feelings and you know, it's just that they can't talk. But we are now educated beyond that. We understand better animals have feelings, so we should be able to treat them better.
There still are arguments over whether animals do have feelings. There are research showing that actually a lot of the, for instance, if you own a dog, actually a lot of the reactions you get from a dog, they are purely reflections. So they don't necessarily feel, but at least there are arguments, research showing that they are not necessarily feeling what we believe that they're feeling. But that's just one of the arguments. And yes, I realize times have changed. We probably are supposed to know better than our predecessors, mm-hmm. who used to sort of ride horses into war and in the face of machine guns in the First World War, mm-hmm. like what you see from the War Horse film by Steven Spielberg.
Mm-hmm. Well, the thing is, another, I suppose, image or perception that Chinese people easily relate this story with could be, we all know in China that possibly in the more, the smaller farms back in the day, mm-hmm. even sometimes these days, you have these mules, mm-hmm. or donkeys, and they're tied to
a mill.
A mill. Yeah, and it just sort of, and the animal,
they till the land, basically.
They till the land, they ground wheat.
And they go by a circle. And yeah, that, because back then, I think, or even till today, to some extent, sometimes animals are being used as sort of like a way to farm, mm-hmm. and they help us to do all these things.
Yeah,
and
I think in southern China, where I grew up, I used to see farmers use cattle to sort of till the land.
Yeah, and in China as well, we see a lot of people are saying that, hey, free the horses kind of thing. But I mean, in a way, I can resonate with that sentiment. But I also feel, are we a little bit hypocritical in saying, oh, free these horses from the carousel? And by the way, this operation has been stopped, mm-hmm. at the moment. But when you go to farms, you see cows lining up in a factory, industrial manner, and they're just standing there to provide milk for us. And not to mention the factories of chicken that's there for the sole purpose of providing meat for people. I mean, where do you start and where do you stop
with
all of this?
The difference is when it comes to these horses, you actually have a video that you can watch. For example, I've imagined and felt really bad for eating chicken, you know, and imagined how they are treated, you know. But then I don't have a video that would actually make me feel bad enough for me to campaign for, you know, for chickens, you know, for their rights. But so when there's video evidence there, then it becomes a whole lot of another story compared when you can't actually see the process, you can only imagine it.
And actually in this case, I would argue that not seeing the video has made our imagination run wilder to the negative side of things. Because like I described, originally I was furious about this, but actually when I saw the video, I was like, oh, well, I mean, we should talk about animal rights, but it was a relief that I don't see the horses suffering, but yeah, it's the repetitive work,
yeah,
that make you think, oh, if I'm a human being and I'm tied to this, then I would hate it.
And also, we do have alternatives. We've always had that alternatives for carousels. What happened to the, again, I'm going to go back to what happened to the, you know, the fake ones? Why can't they just use those ones? Because they were still doing a great job. Well, why use real animals?
This is just an innovative idea on the part of the Shenmar Equestrian Club. they sort of think this is a very fancy idea to give people access to horses, because nowadays for people living in cities, they don't often see horses as they used to. And one woman who paid for her child to ride one of those ponies told Beijing Youth Daily that it was convenient for children to get close to horses and much cheaper than going to a stable. And I would assume that this equestrian club in Chengdu is trying to sort of convince people to sort of get them access to horses, get them familiar with horses, and perhaps it's going to be a huge business opportunity once people decide to sort of let their kids study equestrian. And we know that that is a big thing going on in China. I mean, there are about 1800 equestrian clubs in China, and the number is increasing dramatically from 2017 by 19%, and also from 2016 by 50%.
Well, equestrian, and so riding horses or having your own horse, I mean, that's become
a luxury,
and that's very much picked up by the middle upper earning group of China. And with these horses, I suppose it just gives another reason to charge more.
It's purely greed.
It's purely for profit.
Yeah. So like you said, they only care about, you know, making business. But if this was supposed to be a marketing gimmick, they succeeded, because, you know, in marketing they say good or bad news is still great. You know, because your name, now their name is out there. So now everybody knows, oh, hello, there's an equestrian place that's called ABCD. Yet they are in the news for the wrong reasons. But their marketing campaign, if it was marketing, it was in really bad taste. I mean, if you really want more people to have access to horses, then why don't you just hold a free open day where you invite families for them to come and experience riding horses on a farm or in the state from their stables, rather than going to parade them in a small enclosed space.
But people don't often travel to the countryside.
It's not really in the countryside. I mean, right here in Beijing, right here in Shijingshan, I have a friend who owns an equestrian place.
But some living in East Beijing will believe Shijingshan is the suburb of Beijing.
But then if you live in Shijingshan, then you have access to that. If you live in the East, you've got access to other equestrian places there. So this is just an excuse. Come on.
Yeah, well, this is...
This is his excuse, and you have a right to feel what you feel. And I do think we should respect people, especially people's right to feel how they feel.
But yeah, I just feel it's inhumane.
However, I believe we shouldn't be too presumptuous about... We shouldn't be trying to impose our beliefs on other people. I mean, if that's the case, then there's really is no stop in causing all kinds of controversies. Because if you look at other examples, for instance, the Indian people, they worship bulls, cows, whereas if you travel to the United States of America, they eat a lot of steaks. And in that case, should the Indian people complain about United States, the Americans eating cows?
No, they actually do. To be fair, they actually do. But only if you're in India, and they have a right to do that. But because this is a completely different country. Now we're talking about, you know, geography, which I don't think this applies. I think for me, this applies in general to all animals. Like I said, I love to eat meat. I eat a lot of chicken. But then... when I think about how these chickens are treated, you know, it kind of makes me feel sad, but it's really difficult for me to give up the meat.
Yeah.
So is that it? Is this
so
it?
In a way, I'm
far from sight, far from mind. Is as long as I don't see it, you don't have a problem.
Yeah, I'm a little bit hypocritical in that sense.
That case, we should be blaming whoever uploaded the video then, whoever is operating this horse carousel.
Well, here is the interesting thing. In China today, you see people with vastly different opinion on the same issue. Mm-hmm. In a way, we can see that I think there's liberal ideas that's certainly taking root in people's minds, especially a bit more in the urban areas, I suppose.
True.
When animals are not, they only come close to contact with us when they become our pets.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like on farms in rural areas when animals can become part of the method of farming, can become they're existing in your life for other purposes and
mm-hmm.
reasons.
Mm-hmm.
So I think for today's people living in cities, also eating meat, all of us do, not many of us are vegetarian, by the way, and even with vegetarians, the plant was killed when
yeah.
it was alive. It would be in tears. It didn't have a good day. It didn't know it is the end of its life when I took the eggplant out of my backyard or whatever. Where do you stop there, right? And then there's the urban people that feels so bad, because I think it's good that we have empathy and we think about, oh, what would the animal feel and think?
I'll tell you, I think people in urban centers, city dwellers, we tend to humanize everything these days. We humanize, even sometimes I feel like when I'm pushing a table in my room, I'm like, oh my god, maybe it's got some feelings, you know. I remember when I
feel
a little,
that when I'm driving my car.
Yes, when I was a little child. That's because also we see all these movies where a table all of a sudden starts singing in the middle of a, you know, converts itself into some human form. So I remember when I was a little girl, growing up, I had this obsession with squishing bugs. You know, and
obsession
yes.
that you want to do that.
No, I used to love just staring on the floor or on the ground, or I would be lying down in my mom's front yard and just like looking for these little ants and little pests and little insects. And when I catch them, I squish them, and that kind of get me some sort of gratification. But now it's completely different. When I'm walking on the street, I will see an ant crossing, I'll just stop and let it cross, or I'll just like take it with my finger and put it on the other side. You know, I have so much feelings for this thing, and I'm always thinking, I wonder what this little animal is thinking about me.
Mm-hmm.
Like, am I like a giant to them? Am I like their little goddess walking on the street? You know,
mm-hmm.
So I've learned to humanize animals, because I think they have feelings and stuff like that. And that's only because when I moved out with my parents, plus because they lived in the countryside. So when I moved into the urban center, my mindset changed. So I don't look at animals as just objects, but I look at them as mini humans in a way.
That's true. And I think Nila's example shows how we should allow for differences in opinion. I mean, for people living in different circumstances, in different environments, where, for instance, in some developing countries, people are still using horses as beasts of burden, and they probably wouldn't flinch at the sight of horses just simply taking a stroll within a carousel. And
in a circle, though.
In a circle.
Although in a very slow pace that
yeah.
they... Yeah, and I urge you to check out the video as well. It's just so interesting that we feel that the supplementary video evidence, it also tells a story, but it tells a very different story than I assumed in
mm-hmm.
the first place.
Mm-hmm.
So another thing that's quite interesting about this, I feel, is that how do you view the evidence? What you imagined of things and what you view from different sources, it will give you sometimes a different feeling and
mm-hmm.
a different
also,
story.
Also, what you feel and what you do, there's a difference. I mean, certainly some people feel very strongly about animal protection, but some of the things they do borders on insanity. I mean, there are stories about how dog lovers in China, they chase a truck that's transporting dogs on a superhighway and try to stop it on the highway. And I think they amount to a tremendous risk to others on the highway in the meantime. So I believe whatever we do, we try and respect others' feelings and do not become a hazard to others.
And to yourself as well.
Yeah.
You're listening to Roundtable.